listening to the Sane Madman Podcast, or as they say in Germany,
du bist der Sane Madman Podcast hören.
Welcome to the Sane Madman Podcast. This is a podcast by me, Devin Watson, to talk about and explore the worlds of filmmaking, horror, writing, and occasionally programming and video games.
And now the news.
There are quite a number of horror films being released and some old classics being re-released this month on DVD and Blu-ray. Some movies of note coming out the latter half of January are Cujo, which is celebrating its 30th anniversary with a release by Olive Films in both Blu-ray and DVD formats, while Tick celebrates its 20th, also released by Olive. Both movies are out on January 22nd. If you're looking for something more in the B-movie vein, you won't be disappointed either. The Nest, the 1988 horror classic directed by Terrence Winkless, hits shelves on February 19th. If you're impatient and want something sooner, The Incubus from 1982 will be available on January 22nd, starring John Cassavetes. Indie horror is getting some releases too with Crow's Nest, Bleeding Through, and The Hounds. Now, the classic Trancers is seeing yet another re-release by Full Moon. Arguably, this isn't horror but sci-fi. Either way, it's a classic, and if you haven't seen it or any other part of the series, I recommend it. You can also check out all of the new releases at the blog link on screeniqsys.com/blog. You can also pre-order these movies there as well. New release listings are updated on a regular basis, so you can check back there often.
And that was the news.
Today I want to talk about disempowerment. It's something I managed to leave out of my horror screenwriting book, but I want to rectify that right now. Basically, disempowerment means taking any kind of special abilities or skills from your protagonists. They're just people. It's a game of subtraction. See how much you take away from the hero and stack the odds up against them so it looks like they're not going to get out of it. In an action movie like Die Hard, you expect John McClane to get beat up and shot, but he still gets up and continues to take out the bad guys and spout one-liners no matter how gravely injured he becomes. That's because he's John McClane. He's a tough New York cop. That's why he wouldn't work as a horror character, because he's an even match most of the time for the army of guys he's pitted against. In horror, that doesn't really work. Our heroes are people just like we are. We can, at least on a cursory level, relate to them because they hurt as easily as we do, and they have a lot of the same failings and weaknesses. The original Alien is a great example of this. They're a crew of space truckers. They're not a rescue team, as Parker says in one of the opening scenes, nor is it implied that they have any military training. They're ill-equipped to deal with having a huge creature running around taking them out one at a time. And it doesn't beat it over your head putting it front and center either. It's matter-of-factly there in the conversation, but the conversation is about Parker and Brett not wanting to do something that's not in their contract. It's layered in nicely and doesn't leave it hanging out in front while the filmmakers wait for you to catch up. This contrasts with our antagonists, the monsters. They are often strong, powerful, and sometimes devious, and the hero is no match for them at first. Slasher movies like Friday the 13th and Halloween have that in spades too, but play it to an extreme. Michael Myers is the prototype of that unstoppable killer preying on poor, helpless teens for revenge, and can't be stopped no matter how much lead gets pumped into him. Jason Voorhees is like a panzer tank that can't be brought down, no matter how many times he's stabbed, shot, electrocuted, drowned, or even blown up. So the deck is stacked against the protagonist in horror in heavy favor of the villain. This ties in directly to the hero's character arc. Often in horror, the hero has a weakness that they need to overcome in order to defeat the villain or escape from the environment they found themselves in. And indeed, they should overcome that weakness to complete that arc. If you're having problems finding that arc, look at the hero of your story and ask yourself, what are his or her weaknesses, and how can that play into the plot? Now, the real twist comes at the end. Say your hero got out of their bad situation or defeated their monster. Did they really get away, or are they still stuck in a personal hell they'll never get out of? You can ask several questions to find out what general flavor of ending your story can have. Does the hero defeat the monster and survive? Or does the hero fail to defeat the monster? Is the hero also the monster? Nihilism and transcendentalism in horror is another topic that I'll save for another day. Suffice it to say, many episodes of The Outer Limits and The Twilight Zone have used this technique to good use in their compelling stories.
You've been listening to the Sane Madman Podcast. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derives Non-Commercial 1.0 license.